appreciate Debbie sharing her heart. And we don't know what is going to touch you, but we want to make sure that anything that you have a need of, that the Word of God can just be poured upon you like the oil, the anointing oil. Got my own batteries. Big load. Hopefully we can get through without changing them. If you'll turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5, I want to read a story, and then we're going to get to the message. We'll start with the story out of 2 Samuel about David and his battles, battling the Philistines. Let me just tell you that the Philistines and the Palestinians that we hear about today are different people. They're not the same at all. The Palestinians were given that name after World War II. And almost a made-up name, because the people that are Palestinians are pretty much Jordanians or from that area. And there was several groups of people that represented from that area. But David had his battle with the Philistines. He had his battle with the giant Goliath, and he had his battle with the Philistines. And we're going to read of that two situations, actually. It says in verse 17, 2 Samuel 5, 17, "Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?' And the Lord said, 'Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand.' So David went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there and said, 'The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water.' Therefore he called the name of the place Baal Perazim, and they left their images there, their gods, their idols, and David and his men carried them away." What does it mean that they carried them away? They carried them away showing that they had no power, that they were just empty idols. "Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, 'You shall,' and the Lord said, 'You shall not go up, circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines.' And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer." Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We pray your blessing and anointing upon this today. This, your word, bring encouragement and strength. And Lord, give us just an absolute spark to our faith that will ignite in a firestorm of faith. And Lord, let our love for you grow each and every day because of your word, your spirit. Lord, the many things that you've done in our lives, we give honor and glory to you. Amen. "Like a mighty rushing wind" is the name of my message today. And I chose this story to kind of get us in the thinking of the sound. David was told at the first battle, just go up and fight. And in the second battle, God said, "Wait a minute, wait, don't just plow through." You know, sometimes we think that the way that worked before is going to work again. God, I remember when I was first starting out as a pastor, and we had a big service on Sunday morning. God moved, and wow, Jesus on the main line, and we were really going to it. And I thought, there it is. We sang Jesus on the main line Sunday night, and it went as flat as a flitter. We don't know what God's going to do until we consult with God, until we ask, Lord, how do you want us to approach this battle or this situation or this decision? There's a lot of decisions today that are being made. Some of them are involving millions of dollars, thousands of dollars, hundreds of dollars. Some of them involve relationships and other situations. We need to know what thus saith the Lord. We need to hear him weigh in on it. The second battle, God said, don't go straight in. Circle around the back by the mulberry trees. And then when you hear the sound of the rustling in the mulberry trees, then you go get them. You're going from the back. They're expecting you face on, but I see what they're doing. And God brought confusion to the enemy. Okay, church, here's the thing. Don't confuse ourselves. Let's not get into that situation where we're the ones that are confused by either doctrines or whatever. Make sure that we're straight with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit moving. Amen. And then we will stand back from the confusion and let the enemy, let the devil, let the things that are going on in the world, let them be confused. When the sound came, the Philistines heard it too. And it brought them confusion. And they were pretty much, what would you say? They were pretty much just in the sights of the Israelites. And they won the Israelites won the victory. This is the beginning of this message. I want to turn to Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. The scripture says, and this is the Amplified Version, because the Amplified Version said everything that I felt like we needed to hear. It said, in the beginning, God. I remember years ago of a man that was very wealthy in San Jose. I don't know if I remember his name. It's been a long time. When I got out of high school, and that's been a long time ago, this guy was one of the wealthiest guys in San Jose. He was a distributor for Kirby Vacuum Cleaner. He had on his staff several men that were really awesome preachers, very, very great preachers of the Word of God. One of them was a high school teacher, as well as a teacher and preacher for one of the large churches in the area. I saw his son on a job I worked on in Hunters Point. And I said, where did you get this car? Because it had a plaque on it saying that this guy had won the car because he sold so many Kirby vacuum cleaners. A car. I barely made a living, much less a car. That wasn't my thing. But anyway, where was I going with that? The man that was the wealthy man said, if I could believe one thing in the Bible, I'd give my whole life to God. And that was, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I wish he could have believed it, because it's so true. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created by forming from nothing, the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void or waste, and emptiness and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I like to tease Evan and say, you're a mess. And he comes right back to me, no, you're a mess. Now, I'll tell you what, the earth and the ocean was a mess. Waste, emptiness, darkness. Upon the face of the primeval ocean that covered the unformed earth. Here's what I'm getting to. The Spirit of God was moving. Can you see it? Moving. Debbie and I want to see the Northern Lights. We went to Alaska hoping, but we were too far away. We were way down south, and we didn't get to see those northern lights. But I'll tell you what, at this time there was darkness and everything, but the Spirit moving must have been a great light, a great brightness. The Spirit was moving or hovering or brooding over the face of the waters. You know what the Spirit was doing? Standing ready. And God said, let there be light. Now I'm only reading this one. I'm only going to one element of the creation. This earth was dark, and God said, let there be light. Let's see what we're doing. Let's shine a light on the earth. And the Spirit of God brought forth the creation of light. And the Bible says, and there was light. The Spirit of God today is hovering over the face of the earth. And you come up against a big old mountain and you say, what am I going to do? You look to God and let Him speak to the Spirit, and you will see God move in your behalf. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be a clear direction. I want to go to the book of John, and I'll tell you what, we're headed to the book of Acts 2, 1 through 4, but John 20 and 22. John 20 and 22. And this is a New King James Version, so we're back in the realm of the one of the King James Versions, the new one. And when he had said this, and he is Jesus, ministering to his disciples, apostles to be, after he had resurrected, and he breathed upon them, and he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And that word, breathed, comes from a Greek word that I'm not even going to try to say, because when I tried to say it, it sounded ugly. But it means to breathe or blow with force. So Jesus was giving it a, like the story of the wolves, the huff and the puff. And Jesus was giving them an illustration of what was to come upon them, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he breathed upon them, and he said, receive you the Holy Spirit. This was the same way that God breathed into Adam's nostrils, and he breathed into him the breath of life. And in doing that, he gave to Adam a gift of eternal life. Eternal life. Since Adam. You say, what happened before Adam? I don't altogether know. But I know what happened to Adam. God breathed into him and gave him life. And I know what happened to the church. God, Jesus breathed into the church and gave us eternal life and a great big help in the Holy Spirit. Now let's go on to Acts 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. How many's never heard this before? Say, you're kidding? We've heard it 10,000 times. I understand that. Let's add to that just one. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, of the seven different feasts of the Jews, Pentecost was in the middle. They had three that was before and three that was after, but the day of Pentecost was 7 weeks, 50 days, so it's 7 plus 1, 7 times 7 plus 1, 50 days after the Passover, and it when that day had fully come, I'm glad they chose a certain day, aren't you? Because Pentecost means Holy Spirit to me. And they were all with one accord in one place. Can I tell you something about the church? That's the last time They've all been in one accord in one place. You say, how do you know that? Because I've been to district conventions. And I am amazed at people that believe all the same thing, how they can show such disagreement in a meeting when they really should come together and be unified. But God got the church start with a good thing, all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound. I wish we could do a look back and just be there when this happened. These people had been praying. Jesus had left 10 days before and they'd been praying, seeking God, just like when Azusa Street happened. They had been praying and fasting and seeking God and wanting, you know, great miracles and the power of the Spirit to come upon them. And it said, and suddenly, surprisingly, out of nowhere seemingly, there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So that rushing comes from a word that's not as bad as the other word. It means to be driven or to rush. Mighty is speaking of violence or power. And though it's violent to the powers of darkness, it's gentle to the children of God. Amen. And then the word wind, where we get that root word where we get pneumonia and other breath, air-related things, means respiration, breeze, or breath. Now, I prayed that we fill that in Calvary Temple Church. And I've been careful. I said, Lord, Sister Watson don't want a cold breeze. She wants a warm breeze. Becky's sitting right next to her. And she doesn't want a warm breeze. She wants a cool breeze. I've kind of decided if God sends a warm or cool breeze, we're just going to get along with it. How about that? But I want you to know that the Spirit of God has a physical presence that can be felt and can be experienced by every one of us. And I know we've all felt something in God, and our experiences may be different. I remember years ago where I was in a church and they said that someone was blessed at a certain point in the church. And that everybody afterwards went to that same spot to get blessed. But again, that's just like we started off. No, let's look every experience to be brand new and especially engineered and designed. Everything's engineered and designed today to an exact specification. But the Holy Spirit can do that same for a blessing for you and a revelation of Christ and the Holy Spirit that will minister to your heart and life. The rushing, mighty wind. The breath and life of God going into the church. Jesus said, don't go anywhere and don't do anything until you're endued with power from on high. And then he also said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Acts 1:8. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth, or the end of the earth. God gave power. And then he said, because of the power you will be witnesses. A lot of people say the Holy Ghost is only for witness. The Holy Ghost is for everything. Anything. Anything you want. Anything you need. The Spirit of God is the comforter. He's the teacher. He's there with you. He's going through the ugly situations of life right by your side. He's not only, Jesus said, he'll not only be with you, he will be within you. A living water flowing out like a mighty river. It filled the house where they were sitting. I'm glad that it filled the whole. There was not a square inch that didn't have Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit there. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it set upon each one of them. The whole house is filled, but every individual was touched by the Holy Spirit. And they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm not going to debate with anyone whether the gifts, the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues. You think whatever you want to. But I'm going to stay with what the Bible says. And I'm going to believe that not only was it good on the day of Pentecost, but it's good today. If it weren't for the tongues, how would you know you were filled with the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit just sneak into your life and you didn't know it? I kind of like the fact God didn't need this so he would know who was full of the Spirit, but so we would know who was full of the Holy Spirit. And we have whole denominations of Christians that fight against this, and that let the Lord deal with them when they get to heaven. I do expect that they will get to heaven, but for me, I want all the help I can get from God. And if speaking in another tongue helps me, as Paul said, praying, giving thanks, or praising God, I need all the help I can get. I want that help. I want that power. The power spoken of in Acts 1 and 8 is like a dynamite of power. But if you have a dynamite of power, what we have somebody in our neighborhood that's possessed with a firecracker demon. And about 1 o'clock for the last, you know, you'd think if it's 4th of July, that's fine, but it's lasted over a month. And they'll blow up something like an M80, which is a big explosion, every night about that time. Okay, but my question is, what good does that do? It wakes up Flora, our neighbor next door, the little baby. It sometimes wakes us up too if we're already asleep. If you have a noise or if you have power that just boom and that's it. But the Holy Spirit is a power that directs attention to your life. He wraps you up and comforts and gives you strength. I heard Brother Wood, my pastor when I was a teenager, talk about his mom would come in the cold night, and he talked about having a house that had, you know, cracks big enough for the wind to blow straight on through. How many's ever seen something like that? I have. I've actually seen a house that was covered with newspaper on the inside, and there were places where the air could get in. And they had a coal stove because it was in Kentucky where we had a lot of coal. And the coal stove kept you warm as long as you were close enough. But Brother Wood said he was in that old cold house and his mother would come in with a big old comforter and lay over him. And he said, and I would be warm and I would be protected from the elements. The Holy Spirit is to make sure that you're okay, that you're warm when it's cold, or even cool when it's not. When it's cool, when it's hot. My goal every week is to bring encouragement to us, to you, and let you know how great God is in your life, how much He wants to minister. I would like to, by the Word of God, the Scripture says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Some people think that the only way faith comes is through that particular scripture, others relating to faith. Faith comes by the whole Word of God. Every part of it's important. And I want us to understand that His mercy endureth forever. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must believe and hang on to the fact that God is willing to bless us and to provide for us and to strengthen us. But also, I've been praying so much for the Spirit to move in amongst us, for the Spirit to really touch us. And when we come to church, that our praise and our singing and our worship and our prayers are reaching Him. And He honors that with the moving of His Holy Spirit. the miracles, the souls saved, and thanksgiving for the things that God has done. The scripture says in Acts 4 that while they were praying, that the place they were at was shaken. Being an earthquake country, we probably don't want to get too much of that going. These big beams and all, these were done in the 50s before engineering of the 82 quake. I'm not trying to put fear in your heart, but it would be good to stay like in between them. But God is able to bring something to us that we know that His presence is with us. I heard two sermons last Sunday on the Schweigert Broadcasting and Network. And one was a visiting minister, and he talked about the Holy Spirit being such a help while the church was scattered, and they needed to be scattered so they could go minister everywhere. And he said persecution was a good thing. I've never thought much about persecution being that good of a thing. But we don't know what God has planned altogether. We need to be listening for the Spirit to speak to us. But if we have persecution, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. Revival. Haven't heard a lot about revival lately, but revival starts when there's a conviction in the hearts and lives of men that say, hey, we got to, like the song, we got to surrender all. And we've got to open our lives. I know we're very busy, but we still need to leave time for the Lord to do works in our life. And then maybe the Holy Spirit's preparing us and speaking to us that the rapture is going to take place. And then we can go and leave this world behind and let happen what's going to happen. So whatever our situation is, the Holy Spirit is our help and is our strength. And I'm not saying you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to go in the rapture, but I am saying it sure doesn't hurt to have someone that's getting you ready. The Holy Spirit's represented by wind, and that equals power. There is power to the Spirit. And also represented by the tongues of fire. The fire represents purity. After all, His first name is holy. His second name is Spirit. And there are people that say, oh, you shouldn't say the Holy Spirit, just Holy Spirit. Say whatever you want to. But understand that the Holy Spirit or Holy Spirit is there to bring purity to our lives. And then represented by water, as Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow out rivers of living water. And that represents life. And then the oil represents, I like oil. I like the anointing. I've got some oil up here that smells so good. Audrey got it for the church. I don't know, it's rolled under the console. But it's got myrrh and frankincense. And it smells so good. Maybe Jesus used that very same oil. I don't know. Jesus did whatever He needed to for the time. But we're asked to anoint and pray for people and to bring life, healing, and anointing upon them. Oil equals the anointing. And then the dove is also represented in the New Testament, in the Gospels, when the Holy Spirit as a dove came down upon Jesus. So what I'm going to ask us to do, Debbie, you want to come to the piano, is that we pray for a move of the Spirit where that it's easy for people to be baptized into the Holy Spirit that are not, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. The Holy Ghost have a fortress in Calvary Temple that when you come, you can feel the Spirit, whether people are lost or whether they're not lost, that they be able to feel something different about the church. We prayed for a couple out on the sidewalk when we were changing the sign. If you think the sign is a little obscure this week, Debbie thought so, wait till next week, we'll come up with something else. Maybe it'll be obscure too. We prayed for a couple and they said, oh, how wonderful that you can just pray right here. You don't have to go in the church. I want to pray that people just passing, we get a lot more people passing the church than we do coming in. Pray that they know that they can feel the power of the Spirit. And pray that the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation every opportunity when we gather together. If I'm honest with you, and I should be probably, we can do church easier than entertain the Spirit. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, we could just come and sing and pray and do our part of it, our thing. We can become very, very good at doing those things. We can even act spiritual while we're doing it. Before my voice went away, I was very loud. And I want to get that loud voice back, but it's in the hands of God and hopefully whatever the doctors can do. So we can do church. We can just do it. But the benefit is letting the Spirit of God permeate our time we spend together and minister. Because as much as we can do church, we cannot heal, save, deliver, cast out demons. We can't do that. Just doing church. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to minister, to really touch each and every one. And then the last thing I want to say is I want us to love one another. Everyone here is so lovable. You're so good. And pray for one another. We want to love one another because God is love, and he that loveth not is not of God. Scripture says we want to feel the love of God as we fellowship together. I'd like you to stand and come forward, as many as can. If you can't or you don't want to, that's fine too. I'm real open to that. We want to pray for the kids. Pray for the kids. They're going back to school. Come over here, guys. You say, well, there's only two. That's two that's here. But how many have kids in your life? Grandkids? Sister Becky spoke of Megan, and we need to pray for Megan. Pray that God will just give her strength and protection. God's able to do that. Every child that's going to school needs the hand of God upon them. Let's pray for these. Lord, we pray mercy and blessing on Claire and Evan. I pray, Jesus, that you'll keep your hand upon them, bless them. We know, Lord, that they're going to a good school that'll teach about you and only the truth in their curriculum. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be with them, but be with all the others, all the schools, Lord, that you'll touch each and every student. Protect them, Lord, from all that could harm. I pray, Lord, that you'll protect them from even some of the teaching that's not right, that you'll let them be strong in their faith. And Lord, that will even increase their faith. Touch each and every one in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to touch you on the forehead, and because the Lord just laid that on my heart, I'm not going to use any oil in case somebody's allergic. I'm not going to push you. I am not going to spit in your face if I can help it. Pentecost has done some crazy stuff. I've heard stories. Oh my goodness. I had a cast on one time and a come up and the preacher wanted me to be slain in the spirit and he was doing everything he could and all I wanted to do was stand. But then I've gone and I've got within 3 feet of the preacher and went, gone down under the presence of God. And I can remember such glory. But what I want you to do is just receive whatever you need, whatever you need. Amen. Holy Jesus, mercy and might through your Spirit. Jesus, touch Don, Lord, your grace. Lord, I pray that you'll touch Frida, your mercy, Lord. Lord, Sister Barbara, that you'll touch her, Jesus, your mercy, your strength. Holy God, Lord, touch Becky. Touch her heart, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll touch Nancy, that you'll bring strength, oh Lord God, in your mercy. And Michael, Lord, touch Michael right now by your Spirit, Lord, your love and your mercy. Jesus, touch Jim. Give him your strength. Help him right now in Jesus' name, your glory. Lord, touch Kevin. Jesus, I pray for your mercy and your power in Jesus' name. Lord, touch Jennifer. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch her heart. Give her strength for what is ahead in the school year. Touch her parents in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Jesus. Holy Jesus. Holy Jesus. Lord, touch Don. Touch him, Lord. Your strength and your mercy and your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy God. Touch Henry today, Lord. Your strength. Right now, Jesus, your strength. Oh, God, mighty God. Touch Sister Watson, Lord, with your mercy, your grace, your strength right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, touch Sharon. Your mercy, your strength, your grace, oh, God. Now, in Jesus' name. 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 Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, touch Debbie. Your strength right now. Your help, Lord, right now. Amen. Your strength. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Say, why did you do that? Because the Lord laid it on my heart. And anything that can possibly help you, anything that can possibly give you another good place to stand or to step or to climb. I've never been a rock climber, and I will not start. But I see those guys, and they have to make sure they've got a good footing before they make their next move. In life, there's dangerous places for us. We have to be careful where our next step is going to be. Lord, honor your people today, their faith, their faithfulness. I pray, Lord, everything that they do, their giving, their prayer life, bless their prayer life, that it'll just be wonderful in feeling your presence and the reading of your word, that it just so enlightened, so blessed, so clear. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us with all of our relationships. We have many, many at work, many in families. Your mercy, your mercy, your mercy. Jesus, show the way to our children and our grandchildren. Show your way. Oh, in mighty Jesus' name we pray. Lord, be with us and bring us back tonight. We pray your blessing all the time. Amen. Before you leave, I just want to say that Nancy and Michael have a project that they're doing. They gave us a little sample of that and to give to people like the homeless. You know, there's always... If you need a corner, I can tell you 10 corners where there's people standing. It's almost dangerous to stop or slow down sometimes, but you can give them a gift. And this is what they put together. This.
I have some in a bag, and if you want one, you leave it under the seat in your car, and the guy's standing over with a sign, but you don't know if you want to give him money. But you can say, do you want a new pair of socks? Mm-hmm. And you hand him that. And there's chapstick and socks and sometimes shampoo. And each one is a different thing because I get the toiletries. Anyway, I brought some, if you'd like to have that in your car, to give away. It's to give away. I'm giving it to you to give away.
And this is great, and we're kind of making our push for Labor Day, right?
Yes.
For the veterans, there's
the veterans home. On Kirk, 10 Kirk, number 10 Kirk, there's a homeless shelter for just veterans, men and women, and it's pretty cool because we leave about 50 packs, just like that. And then 50 for the men and 16 to 20 for the women.
And we were talking about Christmas. They have something else they do at St. James Park Christmas. A lot of times we don't have a connection to help people, but let's use their connection. And around Christmas time, I was thinking maybe we could get sets or even random pieces of a beanie and gloves and a scarf to wrap around because it gets cold. Right now we're in the middle of hot. We're going to go out to 80 to 90 degree weather, but there's going to be a time where it's cold. My heart breaks for homeless people, but I understand there's not enough money in all the world to really, people say, well, we need to give more. You could give every dime you have, and they're still going to, Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always, because there's just something about somehow or another, we can't, everybody doesn't get it. And doesn't get it by choice. I've known people that wanted to be on the street. They feel like an independence. We can't control what people want to do. But we can help a little, up to a lot. But God bless you. Thank you for letting us share the commercial with you. God bless you.